Good evening. It is good to see you this evening. If you're here with us this morning, we had what was a pretty heavy and pretty dense kind of dive into Mark's gospel, and there was a lot of implications from that teaching. And to be honest, I'm still kind of reeling a little bit as I process all of what we talked about this morning. And so our plan for tonight is not to be kind of deep or dense, but to be actually just a little bit light and a little bit practical, actually hopefully intentionally very practical. And we are introducing a new word tonight. And that is the word hospitality. Now you're thinking, wait a minute, Brad, that's already a word. I know it's a word, but it needs to become a word that's an important part of our vocabulary as followers of Jesus. Hospitality is honestly a bit of a lost art in our world today. In our society, hospitality used to be an important part of life for every single family. But now we've made hospitality into its own industry, where we have kind of pushed the responsibility of hospitality onto the professionals. And I had friends in college who were going to school for hospitality, meaning to be a part of the hospitality industry. In our increasingly digitized and isolated modern life, we just don't practice the art of hospitality anymore. It's just not part of our everyday. And so I want us to talk about it. I want us to talk about it because it has a lot of really profound missional implications for us, both in our personal life and in our life together as a congregation. And so to define the word hospitality, you could say it is the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. It comes from the Greek word philoxenia, which literally means the love of strangers or the love of foreigners. If you've heard the word xenophobia, this is kind of the opposite. Philo is one of the Greek words for love. Xenia is the word for foreigner or stranger. And that's what this word means. It means love for strangers or love for foreigners. And this concept, this idea, is all over the scriptures. I want us to look at a few passages. One important kind of central New Testament text is from the Hebrew letter in chapter 13 in verses 1 and 2. The author says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers." And I love the implication there that it's easy to forget to show hospitality. They need to be reminded, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. And so this fairly straightforward idea of showing hospitality to one another and to strangers takes kind of an interesting turn. And he's referencing this story from Genesis chapter 18. We're not going to read it tonight. If you want to go home and read it on your own time, it's an interesting story. It's a story about Abraham welcoming these messengers. They're messengers from God. He doesn't know they're from God at first, but it tells the story of how Abraham showed hospitality, how he welcomed them into his life and into his family. That has really profound implications for the story. And this story in Genesis 18 serves as the paradigm for hospitality throughout the rest of the scriptures. It kind of sets the framework for what hospitality is all about, welcoming strangers because we don't know who they really are. It's all over the Old Testament law. In Exodus 22, verse 21, it says, "Do not mistreat or oppress a foreigner, for you were foreigners in Egypt." And then in Deuteronomy chapter 10, a key part of the Old Testament law says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing." And so he's reminding the people of God that God loves the foreigner who's living with you. And he goes on to say, "And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt." And so this idea of hospitality, of love for stranger and love for foreigners, is commanded in the Old Testament law. But it's not just the Old Testament. In Matthew 25, Jesus carries that same motif into this teaching about the coming judgment, into the story about what the judgment's going to be like. And to those who are welcomed into eternal life, Jesus says, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. This is a depiction of hospitality. And then in Acts chapter 2, we read the beginning of the way hospitality played an important role in the life of the early church. We know the well-quoted, hopefully a phrase that we all know well, and that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer, and that everyone is filled at awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And then it says, all the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. This is a picture of a church showing hospitality to one another. And it's an idea that's commanded in the New Testament as well. In Romans 12, Paul writes, share with the Lord's people who are in need. And then the simple, terse command to practice hospitality. Notice how simple that is. Practice hospitality. There's no caveats. There's no qualifiers to it at all. He simply says, practice hospitality. In 1 Timothy 3, he's talking about overseers, and he says that overseers should be hospitable. And in Titus, he says the same thing, that overseers must be hospitable. And then in 1 Timothy 5, talking about widows who are part of the church role, meaning they are cared for in a particular way by the church, he says they're to be well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children and showing hospitality and washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. And then finally, there's 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And I love kind of that qualifier he throws in there, without grumbling, because not only can we forget to show hospitality, sometimes we can grumble and complain about it. But we would never grumble and complain about anything ever, would we? He says, do it, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, and each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Now, we could kind of dive deeply into what each of these passages mean and the backstory here, but I kind of move through these rapid fire simply to remind us of how important and how central this concept is. It's an idea that is all over the scriptures. And this idea of showing hospitality to one another and showing hospitality to strangers is an important, significant aspect of our discipleship to Jesus. And so what I want us to do for just a few minutes tonight is try to be as practical as we can to talk about how we can grow in hospitality. The first thing is to just make it a point. Just to focus on it, just to do what we're doing tonight and talk about it and think about it and make it part of our just everyday vocabulary, to ask one another and think to ourselves, how are we showing hospitality? But I have a few principles for us, just kind of general overarching principles that are really simple. And the first is to welcome everyone you meet. And I mean this kind of literally and figuratively. To simply extend a kind word and a friendly smile to people that you run into, whether that's at church or whether that's at the grocery store or whatever, just a kind word and a friendly smile can go a really long way to helping someone. But to be honest, the idea of hospitality is about more than just friendliness. Friendliness and hospitality are related, but they are not the same thing. You can be friendly and not necessarily be hospitable, because the idea of hospitality means that we are sharing part of ourselves. It takes almost no effort to smile and be nice to someone. Now, I know there are days where it takes every ounce of your energy to do things like that, but in general, it doesn't take much from us to be nice and friendly to people. That should honestly just kind of be our default state of being. But hospitality is about sharing your time. It's about sharing your energy. It's about sharing your life with those. And it's especially true of sharing your time and your energy and your life with those who may need you more than you need them. See, often we engage in relationships with others when we can get something out of it. We interact with each other. We interact with people that we don't know, that we're trying to get to know, in a way where we get something out of it. But the call to hospitality is to do the exact opposite. The call to hospitality is to welcome those and to receive those who don't have anything to offer you. Jesus told some really important parables about this. But first principle is simply to welcome everyone you meet. And then the next is to engage and connect with people. This is just about building a personal connection. This is not just talking at someone. A lot of times we can talk at people, but not really engage with them. If you've ever found yourself kind of thinking of what you're going to say next, or thinking, how can I get out of this conversation and go to do what I want to do anyway, you know what I'm talking about. It's easy to have a conversation, but not really engage with that person. And the call to hospitality in our personal life and our personal interaction is the call to engage and connect with people. This is about moving beyond small talk. And this idea is something that takes time. It takes time to engage with someone. It takes time to connect with people. And so this call to hospitality is a call to take the time to do it. The call to engage and connect isn't something that can happen in the aisle at Aldi or Respects or whatever, Kroger, whatever your flavor is. It's not something that can happen in just a brief interaction. But that brief interaction can be the beginning of something much deeper and more significant. And so engage and connect with people, and then make meals a priority. Have you ever thought about how interesting it is that the central practice of our faith is a meal? At the center of our faith stands the cross of Jesus, but the central practice that God has given us is what we call the Lord's table. It's a meal that we share together. And if you notice, all throughout Jesus' ministry, Jesus makes a big deal about meal. So many important stories, so many important moments in Jesus' ministry happen around a meal. In fact, if you look at the Gospel of Luke, I remember reading one author who said in Luke, Jesus is either at a meal, on his way to a meal, or coming from a meal in every line of the story. And there's a whole lot of truth to that, because meals were an important part of Jesus' ministry. Why is that? Well, meals serve as an incredible way to build relationships. And meals, just sharing a meal together, is a powerful way to get beyond talking about the weather and the sports. Not that those things are bad, but get beyond kind of the surface level conversations and into actual connection and engagement with people. And there's a lot of actual science behind that, the reason why that's true. I mean, think about some of the most important conversations you've had, some of the most significant moments you've had, where you've really gotten to know someone. I would hazard to guess that a great deal of those moments would have food somehow or another involved. And there are sociological reasons behind it. There are psychological reasons why. There are even theological reasons why. But the short answer to the question of why are meals so important, when we come to a meal together, we all come hungry. We all come with the same need. And we all have our need met by sharing that meal together. And there's something about that type of vulnerability, even if it's not conscious, that helps us to engage with other people. And so as we seek to show hospitality, simply make meals a priority. And then next, just pay attention. When you interact with people, pay attention to what's going on in their life. When you interact with people at school, or if you interact with people here at worship gatherings and at the building, and interact with people at work or wherever your life takes us, or the grocery store, simply pay attention. Pay attention to those who might be open to a deeper relationship, to a deeper life and engagement together, and be open to those who aren't just open to it, but pay attention to those who need it, who need that type of engagement. So pay attention. And these are really simple ways that we can increase our practice of hospitality together. But next I want to talk about what I call three circles or three spheres or arenas of hospitality. That's kind of how we can go about being hospitable. Well, I want us to talk about where, kind of the areas of life where we need to intentionally focus on hospitality. And the first of these circles of hospitality is what I call our family. And that's a reference to our own personal families, but more specifically to our church family. This is about showing hospitality here together as the body of Christ in St. Clairsville. And so just kind of some really simple ways that we can increase our hospitality and our welcoming of one another. Simple things like coming early and staying late for our worship gatherings can be a great opportunity to show hospitality to one another, to welcome one another. It's amazing the kind of conversations that can happen in the 15 minutes before we start singing and in the 25 minutes or whatever after we say the final amen. And that simple practice can go a long way. And I know like showing up early is like crazy for some people. But it can go a long way. Simply make lunch and dinner plans with other people. I know a lot of you do this already, but kind of broaden your horizon. Or breakfast plans if you really like being early. But simply making meal plans or plans to have meals. Meal plans is a whole other thing probably. But making plans that have meals together can go a long way to increasing our hospitality. And then kind of the crazy thing of going out of your way to talk to someone you don't know can be an important way of showing our hospitality to one another. I know on Sunday nights we've got a smaller crowd, but think about on Sunday morning when we've got 200 or so people in here. How many times have you seen someone like at the grocery store that you've seen at church for 5 years who sit on the other side of the auditorium that you've never had a conversation with? I've told you this before. I don't have the authority to do it, but you have permission to have the awkward conversation. They say, I've seen you in church, I'm sorry I've never talked to you, but my name is, fill in the blank with your name, it's good to finally meet you. Like, it's kind of awkward, but that can go such a long way to increasing this practice of hospitality together and can help us as we talk about some of these other things. Simple things like finding service opportunities outside of the church building to do together can go a long way towards this type of hospitality. And then another sphere is what I call our distant and disconnected family. Our distant family are those brothers and sisters in Christ who live kind of all across the world. We have the blessing of being literally right along the I-70 corridor, which means we have visitors from out of time all the time, or out of town all the time. We have the great opportunity of just of showing hospitality to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We may have never met before, but we share a bond with because we are fellow followers of Jesus. And then there's also our disconnected family. Those are our members. Those are our family, our brothers and sisters here that we don't get to see very often and that we don't get to see maybe because they're sick or they're going through a difficult time or maybe because they're going through something in their life or they've got some other priorities. But to be honest, as a church, we have so many people that we get to see maybe once or twice a month, and that's about it. This sphere of hospitality means that we go out of our way to reach out to those people that we get to see once a month or maybe once every other month who are part of our family here but are disconnected from it. Going out of your way to help connect them to it, not just calling and saying, where have you been? You should be ashamed of yourself. Maybe that's needed. But maybe it's, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. How about you come over for play some games with our family tonight? Or is there something I can help you with? Simple things like that of reaching out and showing hospitality to our disconnected family can go a long way in creating this ethos of hospitality. And then the third sphere is those who are not yet family. This is those who don't yet know Jesus. See, we should not think of those who don't know Jesus as the crazy pagan heathens that are condemned and going to hell. We should think of them as lost people who need to know Jesus. We should think of them as people who need to be part of our family. Think about the way you would interact with your daughter or your son's fiance, someone who is going to be part of your family. They're not yet part of your family. They haven't said their I do's yet, but is one day going to be a part of your family. You interact with them in a much different way than you interact with the random person at the grocery store. And we should think of all of those who don't know Jesus as someone who is not yet part of our family, but that God is calling to be part of our family. And so that means simply offering invitations. Invitations to worship gatherings, sure. But maybe invitations to your home. Maybe invitations for McDonald's or whatever the case is. The power of an invitation, whether that's an invitation to come worship together or an invitation into your life, is a really powerful thing. This is about hanging out with those who don't know yet who don't yet know Jesus. Hanging out with those who need your light, who need your salt, who need the blessing that God has given you to be extended to them. We cannot isolate ourselves as followers of Jesus. And we cannot fall into the trap of what some call escapism. That idea that we have to hunker together and turn our back to the world around us. Yes, we need to be together. We need to be together all the time, but not in such a way that we don't shine our light out into the community. And then this is about going out of your way to meet new people at our worship gatherings. We have people who don't know Jesus visit with us all of the time, especially on Sunday morning. And so you should work on developing the habit of what I heard one person call the post-worship hospitality radar. That means after the final amen, whether I preach for 5 minutes too long or not, your first thought is to scan the congregation. No matter how many people are here, no matter where you're sitting, or no matter what's going on, to find those people you don't know, those people who are new and who are visiting, and then go out of your way to simply say hi. I know if you're shy like me, if you're an introvert like me, that can be a bit of a daunting task. But here's the reality. Our God has done the same thing for us. And see, that's why we're talking about all of this. That's why hospitality is so important. That's why we want to move beyond just being friendly to visitors, but welcoming guests into our life, because that's what God has done for us. See, God has walked not just across the room to say hi, but God has come to the world. He has come to us. And more than that, he has borne our sins on the cross for us so that we can be a part of his family. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for us so that we could be a part of his faith. And so we have been called to practice hospitality because that's exactly what God has done for us. We are simply doing for others what God has already done for us. And so as we conclude tonight, if you need that hospitality in your life as a follower of Jesus, if you need prayers, or if you need someone to just wrap their arm around you, we're here for you. We love to pray with you. We'd love to talk about what you have going on. And if you've not accepted the welcome that you have from God through baptism and through living your life for him, you've got a chance to do that tonight as well. But let's stand and sing together.